Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAI Argentina to the World in English. This is the foreign service of Argentina's public national radio, broadcasting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI Miami Radio International and also via internet via our website rai.com.ar. My name is Fernando Farias and I'm bringing you the program of RAI Argentina to the World in English for Tuesday, June 22nd, 2021, a show that I'm hosting from my home studio in Buenos Aires and not from RAI's studios on Maipú Street because of COVID. We've been working from home since the beginning of all this in March 2020, and that's why we're doing weekly shows instead of Tuesday, Mondays through Fridays. But when this is over, and hopefully it won't take long or it is a matter of months, we'll be going back to the studio and have the appropriate infrastructure to bring you programs every day, to bring you updated news every day. But in the meantime, we're doing these weekly shows from home, all of us, all of RAI's staff. And, well, we are happy with the response, with the feedback we're getting from our listeners. And we're pretty pleased with what we've been able to achieve despite these circumstances. I mean, working from home and not having the studio, the newsroom, the professional technical operators working with us. But, we are 1 week closer to leaving this behind and going back to the studios. We're going to have the latest news from Argentina and the region, and as usual, we'll listen to a little bit of music before the end of today's program. If you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to qslrai@gmail.com. You can send reception reports there, and if they're accurate, we'll reply with a digital QSL card. So send your reception report to qslrai@gmail.com. And if you want to find out about our timetables, if you are a shortwave listeners, the best thing to do is to go to our website, riot.com.ar. We've got the schedules for our shortwave broadcast via WRMI in all of our 8 languages. All right, folks, let's get started with the news. These are the headlines. Coronavirus infections continue to drop in Argentina and vaccination keeps speeding up, while 3 cases of the Delta variant have been confirmed in the country. Brazil reached 500,000 deaths due to COVID and thousands marched against President Jair Bolsonaro for his handling of the pandemic. Argentina and Mexico summoned their ambassadors to Nicaragua for consultations due to the arrests of opponents to Daniel Ortega's government. 15 days after the elections, uncertainty continues in Peru, while Keiko Fujimori's allegations of fraud against her rival Pedro Castillo are being analyzed. Argentina partially reopens beef exports after a 30-day suspension to contain domestic prices. Sports. Argentina beats Uruguay and Paraguay to lead their group at the Copa America Brazil 2021. And these are the news. Daily infections of coronavirus dropped by 40% during the last month in Argentina, while the vaccination rollout keeps speeding up. Health Minister Carla Bisotti remarked on Tuesday that the average number of new cases per day is deepening, and this keeps on consolidating the decrease. At the end of May, she explained, the average was more than 30,000 per day, while on June 20 and 22, just over 20,000 were registered. In spite of this drop in the rate of infections, this Tuesday, June 22nd, a new record number of deaths due to COVID was registered in Argentina with 792. Meanwhile, this week, some 4 million doses of vaccines against coronavirus arrive in the country, with shipments of AstraZeneca coming from the US and Sinovac coming from China. In addition, local laboratory Richmond announced it completed the first batch of Sputnik V vaccines developed in Argentina, and that it is awaiting approval from regulatory agencies to add these doses to the rollout. In this context, the city of Buenos Aires has opened registration for vaccination of people over the age of 40 without any health condition. Meanwhile, the province of Buenos Aires, the largest and most populated in the country, aims to have all of its adult inhabitants immunized by September, official sources anticipated. In the rest of the country, whose populations are smaller, the rollout is progressing even faster, with younger age groups already covered. For instance, in Salta, in the northwest, jabs are already being administered to those over 18 years of age. Minister Bisotti ratified today that in the next few weeks, the vaccination scheme will be completed for those who have already received the first jab, which are about 15 million people, about a third of the total population of the country. In any case, she sought to transmit tranquility, by explaining that no dose expires and that the first jab already gives 80% protection against the development of a severe symptomatic case of COVID. Due to the drop in the number of infections and the progress of vaccination, the government says that by the end of the year, we could have an almost normal life and leave behind the pandemic, which so far has left 90,000 dead in Argentina. At the same time, the National Direction of Migration denounced almost 300 people before the courts for violating the mandatory isolation they have to comply with when returning from overseas. This is happening while border controls are being reinforced after the confirmation of three cases of the Delta variant of the virus, the one originally detected in India. These are travelers who returned to the country and were isolated, according to immigration authorities. It should be noted that international tourism remains suspended and has been so for over a year, and borders are also closed. It is only possible to enter Argentina through airports in Buenos Aires City, showing a negative PCR test, in addition to complying with a 7-day quarantine. However, domestic tourism will be allowed during the winter holidays at the end of July, as confirmed by the Minister of Tourism, Matías Lamens. This official emphasized, however, that all of the sanitary protocols and the restaurant limits to prevent contagion will remain in force. Brazil reached 500,000 deaths due to coronavirus and became the second country in the world to reach this mark. In that context, thousands of people took to the streets on Saturday, July 19, to protest against President Jair Bolsonaro for his handling of the pandemic. Let's recall that the head of state usually downplays the severity of COVID and argues that the economic consequences of lockdowns and other health measures are worse. Mr. Bolsonaro has consistently refused to implement restrictions, and it's been the state governments in Brazil that have adopted them. The president is even reluctant to wear a face mask in public and often takes part in rallies and events without even respecting social distancing. In addition to having reached 500,000 deaths, the daily average number of infections and deaths due to coronavirus in Brazil remain at very high levels, 70,000 and 2,000 respectively. Meanwhile, intensive care units at hospitals are at least 80% of their capacity, according to official figures. Likewise, the vaccination rollout in Brazil is progressing slowly, and so far only 11% of the more than 200 million Brazilians have received one jab against coronavirus. In this context, protesters also expressed outrage at the organization of the Copa America in the country, which Mr. Bolsonaro allowed by minimizing the health situation. It's his fault. That was the main slogan against the Brazilian president during last Saturday's demonstrations. Meanwhile, the pandemic is also hitting Paraguay hard, and this country became the one with the highest COVID mortality rate in the world. The South American nation has an average of 15.8 deaths every a million inhabitants, according to the site Our World in Data. In addition, only 1.2% of its population has been fully vaccinated against the disease. According to an article by Radio France International, the worsening of the pandemic in Paraguay is the consequence of a relaxation of restrictions, especially among the general population, which has stopped taking care of itself as it had done back in 2020. On the other hand, Colombia reached the 100 death toll due to COVID. 100,000, sorry. The Colombian president, Iván Duque, pointed to the massive demonstrations against his government, which have been going on for almost 2 months, as one of the causes in the surge of infections. All in all, Cuban laboratory BioCuba Pharma announced that its vaccine against coronavirus, called Abdala, registered an effectiveness of more than 92% in phase 3 studies. This is a jab that requires 3 doses and, once approved, will be the first to be fully developed in Latin America. Finally, the US government announced that it will send 14 million vaccines to countries considered regional priorities, such as Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, and Uruguay, among others. Most of those jabs will arrive through the World Health Organization's COVAX program. In Nicaragua, another presidential pre-candidate was arrested for the alleged crime of inciting external interference and undermining the sovereignty of the country, among other accusations. Opposition candidate Miguel Mora was arrested this Sunday, June 20, in capital Managua. This is the 10th time that leaders opposed to the government of President Daniel Ortega has been arrested in the last few weeks. This action prompted expressions of concern and condemnation by several states and international organizations. On Tuesday, the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, called for the Nicaraguan government to have an urgent change of attitude. In addition, she described the detention of opposition leaders as arbitrary, and she demanded their immediate release. Meanwhile, Argentina and Mexico agreed to summon their respective ambassadors for consultations. The Argentine Foreign Ministry explained in a communique that the political and legal actions of the Ortega government are concerning and, quote-unquote, have put at risk the integrity and the freedom of several Nicaraguan opposition leaders. Both Latin American governments remarked that the diplomatic action does not modify their stance that they had adopted last week at the Organization of American States Assembly when they abstained from supporting a resolution condemning the Ortega government. Buenos Aires and Mexico emphasized that their vote at the OAS was based on the respect for the principle of non-interference in the internal affairs of nations. For his part, the Nicaraguan Foreign Minister, Denis Moncada, justified the arrests and stated his country is not to be accountable to any foreign government. Mr. Moncada asserted that the arrests were due to legal rather than political reasons. of the 10 opposition leaders detained, at least 5 were planning to run in the presidential elections of next November, facing Ortega, who will seek his 4th consecutive term in office. Nicaragua has been immersed in a political crisis since 2018, when strong protests were unleashed against the government, demanding early elections. Tension and turmoil has continued in the Central American nation since then, despite several attempts to unlock the conflict through dialogue. The Argentine government partially reopened beef exports after suspending them for a month in an attempt to contain the increase in prices of this central component of the Argentine diet. From now on, shipments will resume, although during the next 2 months, it will be only 50% of the volume reported by each exporter in 2020. In addition, foreign sales of 7 cuts considered by the government to be the most consumed at the domestic level, including the classic asado, will be prohibited to be exported until the end of the year. These foods will be offered at low prices in the main supermarkets from Mondays through Fridays, thanks to an accord signed by the government with sellers. When showcasing the measures at a press conference, the Minister of Productive Development, Matias Culfas, underlined that the priority of the government is to supply the domestic market. However, he pointed out that this aspect can go hand in hand with the opportunities offered by international trade. He also reminded that the 50% cap excludes shipments that are committed in agreements with states, such as the Hilton quota, to sell high-quality beef cuts, such as loin, to Europe. Let's recall that a month ago, the executive branch halted exports in the face of a local beef price increase of almost 80% in just 1 year. This restriction was rejected by ranchers' lobbies that protested by withholding sales for several days. On the other hand, the Argentine government reached an agreement with the Paris Club to postpone a $2.4 billion maturity that was scheduled for next August 31st. The Minister of Economy, Martin Guzman, explained that $430 million will be paid in advance and that this will avoid a default. This is a time bridge, he explained, towards the cancellation of the debt in 2022. This extension, Mr. Guzman continued, will facilitate negotiations to pay off another important debt of Argentina, the one with the International Monetary Fund, for about $44 billion. Let's recall that that credit had been granted by the IMF to the government of then-President Mauricio Macri in 2018. In Peru, the result of the presidential elections of June 6 continues to be uncertain. Although leftist Pedro Castillo was the winner according to official figures with 50.12% of the votes, electoral authorities still have to analyze several claims of fraud presented by the party of his rival, Keiko Fujimori. The conservative candidate obtained 49.87% of the vote, only 44,000 votes fewer than her opponent. Due to the small margin, it's necessary to wait for the clarification of the nullity claims on irregularities before formally proclaiming who of the two will be the next Peruvian president. This week, the National Board of Elections, which is Peru's highest electoral authority, begins to study these requests in a process that could take days and even weeks. It should be noted that the Organization of American States assured the mission it had sent to monitor the June 6 elections did not find any indication of grave irregularities. In other regional news, July 4 will be the first session of the Assembly that will draft the new Constitution of Chile. This was announced by President Sebastián Piñera, who explained the date will coincide with the 210th anniversary of the creation of the Chilean Parliament. The Congress people will have 9 months to work on the text of a new Magna Carta that will replace the one sanctioned by the dictatorship of the late Augusto Pinochet in 1980. Of the 155 delegates, most come from independent groups that emerged during the 2019 protests, whose main demand was a constitutional reform in Chile. The new text is expected to give a more active role to the state in areas such as health and education, with the goal of reducing social inequality, and this was another of the demands of the demonstrations of 2 years ago. Once finalized, the draft new constitution will be submitted to a popular referendum for final approval or rejection. In other regional news, Ecuadorian President Guillermo Lasso traveled to Miami to undergo a spinal cord surgery. Before leaving his country, the president said he hopes the surgery will allow him to recover normal mobility in his legs. It is worthy of mentioning that Mr. Lasso has been suffering the consequences of another operation he underwent back in 2013 for a fibula injury, which, due to a malpractice, ended up compromising his spinal cord. And finally, we've got sports. The Argentine national football team has accumulated 2 consecutive victories in the Copa America and has thus already qualified to the quarterfinals of this continental competition that is being held in Brazil. On Friday 18, the Albiceleste won 1-0 over Uruguay with a goal scored by Guido Rodriguez with a header from an impeccable cross by captain Lionel Messi. Meanwhile, on Monday, June 21st, the Argentine team defeated Paraguay 1-0 with a goal by Gustavo Gomez after a precise pass by Angel Di Maria. With this result, Lionel Scaloni's team leads Group A of the Copa America, which also shares with Chile, Uruguay and Bolivia. With qualification assured, the Argentines will now play their last group stage match next Monday, June 28, against the Bolivian national team. Messi has now equaled Javier Mascherano as the player who has worn the blue and white jersey the most times, 147 in total. This means that in the next match against the Bolivians, Messi will break another record and will become the player with the most caps in Argentina's national team's history. At the age of 34, Messi is already the Albiceleste's all-time leading scorer, surpassing Diego Maradona and Gabriel Batistuta. And these were the news on RAI, Argentina to the World. You're listening to RAI, Argentina to the World. We are the foreign service of Argentina's public national radio. We broadcast from the city of Buenos Aires, the capital of our nation, via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, on the frequency of 5800 kHz. You can find more about our broadcasts via WRMI on our website, rai.com.ar, where we have our schedule for all of our programs in 8 languages and the time they are broadcast via WRMI. Just check out riot.com.ar for this information. We are also uploading all of our shows, all of our content as podcasts to that website, riot.com.ar. And before signing off, we're going to listen to a little bit of music. You know, we have been introducing new artists, new groups as part of our cycle New Argentine Sounds that we produce weekly and jointly with another station of the National Radio Network, which is FM Rock, FM Nacional Rock, that also broadcasts from Maipú 555 here in Buenos Aires. And every week we introduce three tracks, usually the latest releases by young artists, young pop and rock artists. And you have these tracks with information about the songs and about the artists available on our website, information available in 8 languages. This week we're going to be listening to some music coming from the extreme south of Argentina, coming from the city of Ushuaia, the capital of the province of Tierra del Fuego, the gateway into Antarctica, which is also the southernmost city in the world. From that city comes a group called Voz en Off, and this is their latest single called Mil Flores, 1,000 Flowers.
Ella sueña con estrenar su voz, pero calla cuando la miran. Deshoja mil flores en un rincón, sin pensar en mí. Abre las ventanas del corredor, baila los compases del día. Ya no escucha cuentos que no escribió, vuelve a sonreír. Falta hoy el de las flores que crecen en el fondo del jardín. Grítale al viento tu voz, aunque no quiera escuchar. Una a una se encienden las sonrisas al pasar. Las tormentas traen el mejor groom, la tarde ya no queda en espera. Esconde las derrotas con buena luz, vuelve a sonreír. Muéstrale al mundo un color, es lo que le falta hoy. El de las flores que crecen en el fondo del jardín. Grítale al viento tu voz, aunque no quiera escuchar. Una a una se enciende en la al pasar. Deshoja mil flores y escribe al papel todos los secretos, viajes, frases sin sentido. Ella sueña con estrenar su voz, ya no calla cuando la miran. Deshoja mil flores en un rincón, sin pensar en mí. Muéstrale al mundo un color, es lo que le falta hoy. El de las flores que crecen en el fondo del jardín. Grítale al viento tu voz, aunque no quiera escuchar. Una a una se encienden las sonrisas al pasar. Mostrarle al mundo un color, es lo que le falta hoy. Todas esas cosas me acercan a vos.
Voz en Off is the name of this group. And the song we just played is called Mil Flores, 1,000 Flowers. Voz en off is something like a voiceover, no? When you're recording a video or a film or a documentary, voz en off is something, yeah, is a voiceover. And this brings us to the end of our program for this week, program for Tuesday, June 22, 2021. I'm Fernando Farias. Thank you very much for listening. You can listen to all of our shows via WRMI and also via riot.com.ar. We'll bring you another program next week, okay? Keep taking care. Ciao, hasta la próxima. Thank you.